on the Michael Coolidge Show. This cheating scandal. There's so many things about it that are fun to talk about. One, nobody died. Nobody got hurt. Nobody is really offended. So, in these days, being offended is the worst thing you can possibly do to someone. The absolute worst. So, yes, I know there are things about this that are offensive, but, murder, all the other awful things, not as bad as offending someone, you see. That's the worst thing you can do. That ends careers, that ends livelihoods, that ends marriages, that ends relationships with business partners, all of that. That's the worst thing you can do, you realize. So this doesn't really fit into those categories. So what it makes it fun to talk about is that it is awesome to talk about. And I don't know. I just think it is one of these wonderful hot topics that are always sometimes come down the pike. And it's like, doesn't have to do with politics. Doesn't have to do with necessarily current events. It's just laughing at people who decided to use very poor judgment. Anyway, someone who never uses poor judgment, Jim Brewer, he joins us on the phone right now, I believe on the eve of his final show with Metallica tonight. Yes, indeed. Jim Brewer, welcome back on to the Michael Coolidge Show.
I use poor judgment many times. I just get away with it, Michael.
Do you have anything to confess, by the way? You have college-age kids, right? Or kids on the way to college? No?
Oh, no. I got one in college.
Do you have anything to confess about how you got them in, or did they earn it in their own right?
No, that one... she... half and half.
Okay.
Do you really earn your way into college nowadays? How many kids really earn their way into college? Or how many colleges are just like, hey, yeah, we'll take your $200,000-$300,000 debt. Let's do that. And ship you off into... I'm not a college guy. I get all riled up when I think of college. I think it's a... And people get mad when I say this. I think it's the biggest scam ever going.
I actually don't disagree with you at all, and I have 2 degrees, and I don't think that they were worth what I paid for them. It's crazy these days. It's so expensive, but what do you think? I mean, these are people who have reached the pinnacle of success in many ways in the entertainment world, who've made millions of dollars. Their kids are already probably going to be okay financially. And I know just Felicity Huffman and the other woman whose name I don't have in front of me right now is just 2 of the names. All these other people who did this obviously are of means. But I don't understand. Do you have any insight into this?
I don't even know what you're talking about. What happened? I don't watch it. Here's another thing about me. I know this sounds crazy. I tapped out of all media for over a year now. So I don't even know if we're at war. I don't know anything about a wall. I don't know anything. And it's the greatest feeling in the world because I don't have to emotionally worry about anything except for what's in front of my face, which is, I think, the way humanity was supposed to be.
Well, there's a lot of wisdom
going on. Tell me exactly what's going on.
So, in a nutshell, and this is a super hot topic right now, and it is very recent. I didn't even talk about this yesterday because it didn't even break yet. But sure. Felicity Huffman and Natalie, what is the other woman's name? The other actress, who?
To me, it doesn't even matter.
Laura Loughlin. Okay, so they, she's on Desperate Housewives or whatever. She paid allegedly anywhere between $6 million and $400,000, along with 49 other people, to get their college, to get their high school children into USC, Wake Forest, Yale, a bunch of different ones, but did it in a really weird way. Paid a soccer coach to put them on the team, even though they don't play soccer. Gave him $400,000, allegedly, to get them into Yale. And it's one of these, like, super privileged people paying more money than it costs to even go to these schools to get their kids into the schools. And it's like, my question to you, I mean, when you are hiring someone to work on a project that you're working on, do you care that they went to Yale or Harvard or USC? Or no, do you care more about what they've written, what they've done? Are they funny?
I can give 2 rats, big donkey droppings, what they've done anywhere. I had this kid years ago. I had him as a film guy, edit guy, and all that stuff. And I had him in high school. He said, oh, you should use this kid. He's really good. He was only 16 at the time. And he showed me a little wedding video he put together. I went, oh, wow, it's really good. Tell you what, I'll use you. Then he went to college. I said, when you get out of college, you're looking for work, call me. Okay, so he finishes college, comes to me. He goes, okay, I'll start with you, and I need to start at $108,000. I said, what? I went to college. I said, who cares? Have you ever done this besides making wedding videos? Well, no, but this degree. The degree don't mean anything. All it means is that you know how to read books and that you're willing to sit in your classroom and in your dorm instead of getting high and drinking and learn about something that you may never use again. That's all it means for me, and it means that you're $300,000 in debt. Can you do the work? That's all I care about. And I think, you know, this ain't the 50s anymore. What you're talking about, well, who's the bigger dummy? The people doing it? First of all, like you said, they're already billionaires.
Yeah.
So we don't need to send them anywhere. Who cares?
Right.
That's number one. Number two, how come Yale and all that doesn't get discredited? How come they don't, like, because clearly they're all about money and they'll just take you if you have a gazillion dollars. So how does a kid that has no right to be there get in there? Well, then you should go after the school then.
But and it's like so many other things. When this comes to light, you know that they're the first ones that got caught. But obviously, this has probably gone on for years. It's like anything.
My kids go to private school. Now, sometimes I get really aggravated because I know there's a bunch of the sports team and whatever. They're not paying to be there. They went and got these kids, shipped them in. I go, listen, we're going to put you on this basketball team, put you in elite school, and you don't really have to pay for it. Just kind of keep it hushy-hushy. And it's like, well, why do I have to pay all this money? Why? Because my kid can't play basketball, or my kid can't play tennis a certain way, or my kid's really good at the play department or the best swimmer. Well, what? I don't get a discount for that. Or my kid's the funniest, nicest kid. I don't get a discount for that. I got to make sure my kid can throw the ball in the hoop in order for me to get free education. That's insane. But it goes on and on and on.
I've got to think that there are many, many kids. And, you know, even one of them, I think it's the daughter of Felicity Huffman, who has a YouTube channel already. I mean, she's got talent. She's kind of interesting. She has like a YouTube channel with a million subscribers already. And in the YouTube channel, wow, she said, I don't even want to go to college. Like, this is months ago. I'm not going to go to class. I just want to party and stuff. And maybe she should have taken her own advice, you know, and said, Mom, how about giving me that $400,000? Let me put it into my YouTube channel and try to be a creative content maker as opposed to wasting it on school.
Yeah, that would have been good, too. But, you know, you come from where your parents come from. So, that sounds pretty nuts, though. That's fascinating. Glad you told me this. This is good stuff. This is a good way to
Jim
jack
Brewer,
down the cannon now.
I got to ask you, what have you learned from playing with and opening for and performing on the same stage with Metallica for a very long time now, right? Which I think this particular tour is coming to an end. Is it today?
Tonight, yeah.
Tonight, yeah. What are you? What are your feelings on that? It all ending, and what? You're one of the best storytellers of all time. I know I'm putting you on the spot. Do you have any story? Last time you told us the Bruce Springsteen story. Do you have any stories from your Metallica tour that you want to relate to our audience?
Well, I can tell you how it all started. First of all, it's the best gig I ever had in my life, in my entire lifetime. What I mean by that is, you know, TV, film, whatever. This is the greatest gig I ever had in my life. Am I able to do full-blown stand-up comedy? No. Do I care? No. This is traveling with Metallica, being part of that crew, I can honestly say has been the greatest experience in my time. I'm extremely sad that it ends today, and we pulled off a lot. Now, people always say, well, how'd this gig come about? And what made you create what you did? About a year ago today, I got a text from James Hetfield. And the text was very random. It said, hey, would you be interested in doing some type of tour with us? And I dropped the phone. And I picked up the phone and went, oh, my God, yes, I'll crush it for you, whatever you want. And then he takes back, relax, I haven't told the band, and we don't know what it is. Okay.
About so he just did this on his own?
Yeah, no, I think they all kind of talked about it.
Okay.
Or he could have done it on his own. I don't know. And then about a month later, James goes, here's what we're thinking. Character, more like a party atmosphere type of thing. Maybe you dress as a character and walk around the arena. And he said some other, you know, t-shirt cannons, all this stuff. And I went, oh boy, I don't know what's going on now.
He's kind of getting out of his lane there.
Yeah. So then I started giving ideas, and I never heard back from him. I went, oh well, I guess he wasn't into my ideas. I gave up on the whole thing. I went, oh well, what a bummer. A couple months later, I'm going to say it was May. His manager calls. Hey Jim, I want to. Are you home at your house on Sunday? This is. Yeah, Sunday, yeah. I go, it's just me. My family's out there. He goes, do you mind if I come to your house and talk to you this thing that Jane's been texting you about? You're going to come to my house in New Jersey to talk about the thing? Yeah. Okay. Now I got all my ideas lined up. I'm going to pitch him everything I got and how amazing it's going to be. And I got these video ideas and these character ideas and all this jazz. And he comes over to the house, opens up his laptop. And I got all my ideas ready. And he opens up the laptop and he goes, now listen, we leave in September and we go all the way through March. So you have to talk to your wife. And it's 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And we go here and ding, and we look at your schedule. Are you doing this or what? Well, yeah. He goes, great. We announce it in the morning. We'll figure all this out as time goes on. Like, what? He goes, yeah, Howard Stern in the morning, Rolling Stone in the morning, and we got your name on it. Okay, man, we'll talk to you on the road and keep in touch. Out the door, and just went, what? Next, before I can even think, Jim Brewer at Metallica, and they're opening up. Everyone's calling me. Dude, you're opening up? What are you doing? And I would go, I don't know.
Are you playing bass? Like you could be easily, you know, doing something that the band would need to do. But so now, in retrospect, at the other end of it, how did it all pan out, in your opinion?
After the first night, I will tell you this, and I think they revolutionized the way you open up for bands. Put it this way, the last show, there's about 25, they're called black ticket holders, which means Metallica offers a limited amount of tickets where you can buy tickets for every single show. And if you do that, it basically comes out to like $16 a ticket or something. But what that opened the door to is people bought those tickets and they traveled to every single show.
Oh, wow.
And there were people from all over the world traveling, and they were there every show, and I became friendly with all of them and got to know all of them. And the last show, I got all emotional. They made me this book with all the pictures of me on stage, and they all handwritten thank yous, and every single one of them said, we don't ever want to see a band opening for Metallica again. Or any band, you entertained us differently every single night, and we're gonna miss you dearly. It was I had some band guys, guys from Korn and Foo Fighters and all that. It's just, you know, when you go see bands like Foo Fighters or Metallica or U2, Rolling Stone in that elite group, let's not kid ourselves. No one cares about a band. And Lars said the same thing. Lars like, look. The reason why we're hiring you, we'd love to have bands open up for us. Here's the reality. Nobody goes to see them. No matter who they are, what their name is, it's a bummer for the band. It's a bummer for us.
Yeah.
So you know the band. You know our music. You know our fans. All we want you to do is just give a fan experience. I leave it up to you. And remember this. You don't have to be funny. Bring a DJ. Bring a story to whatever you got to do. And he goes, we'll figure it out. And I got to say, Metallica always is ahead of the curve with doing something different. And I think they created something you're going to see a lot of.
Well, if you are in Grand Rapids, Michigan tonight, you might be able to see the show, although I don't know if it's sold out or not. But this Friday, here in Illinois, the Genesee Theater, you can see Jim Brewer, unfortunately, without Metallica. But I have a prediction. I'm assuming that at the Genesee Theater on Friday night, you are going to be funny. You are going to do comedy.
Yes, that's a full-blown stand-up show. Okay. And I will have a lot of stories of the Metallica. I'll have a lot of stories of other things about life in general, and
I've got to think you've got so much material from this experience, and I don't doubt you at all, that because I'm just thinking as a fan when I go to see a show. Yeah, I'm fans of all the bands you just mentioned there. I don't want to see some no-name act opening up. I'm going to be drinking and doing something else. Yeah. But if Jim Brewer was there, or if Nick DiPaolo was there, or like someone, you know, opening up before, I'd be like, heck yeah, I want to see what he has to do, what he has to say. This is great. And you're one of the most creative guys in all of entertainment, and I'm sure it was awesome. My biggest regret is that we didn't get to see it, but who knows? It sounds like this is something that might happen again in the
future.
You
never know.
Jim Brewer, again, this Friday night in at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan. Jim, we always enjoy having you. Anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
No, I hope to see you guys this Friday. I'm going to kill that place, and I love always coming in the Chicago area. So thank you, bro.
All right, Jim Brewer, there he goes. We will be right back on The Michael Kuga Show. Stay with us.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.